Good morning. If you were here last week, we kind of started what will probably be a sermon series. He's talked about meant for more, how we were meant for more in this life, and how God is for us. And even when we struggle, even when we go through difficult times, that is not evidence that God wants us to struggle. And we've talked about spiritual warfare, right? And how we are born into a battleground. And so we talked about how we are meant for more. This week we're going to talk about fighting for more. That we have a part to play in this battle, and that we have to fight for that destiny or that purpose or that plan that God has for our life. And so we need to recognize, one, that we are in a battle, that this is a struggle, and so we need to treat it like that. And the first thing that we need to do is to prepare. We need to get ready for war. And that might sound like an exaggeration, but it is not. It is the reality of what we find ourselves in every day of our life, is a struggle, a war for good versus evil, and what is going to reign in our hearts and in our minds. And so the first step in getting ready for war is to consecrate yourself, to really focus in on making yourself ready. Another way to say it would be to focus. You know, unfortunately, the Indianapolis Colts met the Chiefs yesterday in the playoffs. But before that, you know, they had started off their season really poorly. And they totally turned it around. And they won the last 10 of 11 games. An amazing change. I think it was like 1-6 or 1-5 or something like that. And 1-5. And then they turned it around and won 10 out of 11. And if you go back and look at what was the changes that they made, what's the differences that they made, they weren't humongous differences. They didn't start saying, you know what, we should start practicing. Maybe that would help. Right? It wasn't huge differences. They focused. They concentrated. They put this as their goal that was in front of them, and they put nothing else in front of them, and they put everything that they had toward that goal. We need to concentrate ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:14 through 26 says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, and sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Now that is a little bit of a long phrase to say this. We got to pay attention to what we're doing. We have got to get focused in on what is the most important thing, why it is the most important thing, and then pursue it with everything that we have. And the most important thing is living according to God's word. Living according to His desires and His purposes. We have to consecrate ourselves. We have to remove everything from our life that is worthless, foolish, so that we can put everything that we have into this war, into this battle. The next thing we have to do is we have to prepare ourselves by putting on the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." You know, when I say that we are in a war, the image that automatically comes to your mind is two men fighting, or a group of men fighting another group of men. But the war that I'm talking about is a spiritual war. Paul says we're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's not me against my neighbor over our property line dispute, right? It's against good and evil. And when I go to my neighbor, then I need to recognize that, hey, I'm on the side of good, and I want him to be on the side of good. So I'm going to approach him in the way that we can both be on the side of good. Our enemy is an invisible enemy. It's the powers, the principalities or authorities, the rulers of the darkness of this age, the devil and his angels, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are authorities of darkness that we don't see, that are spiritual in nature, that we have to pray about, that we battle not only in our own minds, but also through prayer, through subjecting ourselves to God. And Paul says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." I wish we had the time this morning to go through each one of these pieces of the armor. I know the ladies have done that in their, a summer Bible study last summer. I think I might have preached a sermon on that before, I'm not sure, but we'll get around to that someday. But very, very quickly, truth, right? We have to be committed to the truth. You don't strap on a belt and write truth on it. That's not what the verse is talking about, right? It's talking about in everything that we tell the truth, we are committed to the truth, and that's going to hold everything else together, right? And so you can go through those in that manner. What I really want to draw your attention to in this passage is the very end, where Paul says to pray for him that utterance may be given to him that he may speak boldly. Now, I want you to recognize the setting. He said, "I am the ambassador in what? In what? in chains. Yeah, verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in chains. He's in prison. And what is he asking for? He's asking for prayer to speak boldly while he's in prison for speaking boldly. Right? He recognizes the war that is going on that he has found himself in, and he's asking for help, for boldness. We are not in chains. And we're not praying for boldness. We're not praying that we would be given utterance. A lot of times we're praying, God, send them to somebody else. Send them on down the road. Please don't ask me any hard questions. Paul says that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I want to encourage you, not judge you. I want to encourage you that it is time for the people of God to put in the work, to study, to show themselves approved unto God, so that when people ask them difficult, hard questions, that they can speak boldly as they ought to speak. We as Christians hold the word of truth, and we should speak boldly, knowing that we have the answers to life. So we must ready ourselves for the battle, and then we must engage in the battle. We must also, I forgot my point C here, discipline ourselves. In getting ready for a battle, we must discipline ourselves. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. For the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not obtain a perishable crown, but for we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul is saying here that, yeah, the Chiefs can go on and win the Super Bowl, and they probably will. But when they do, what will they have won? What will they have won? A trophy? And what will that give them? Anything? What?
Temporary satisfaction.
Right? And they'll hold that thing up and they'll say, we won, and then they'll get interviewed and say, we're going to do it again next year. Right? Because the satisfaction is so short-lived. But Paul says, hey, I am fighting for something of greater importance than a prize, a trophy. I'm fighting for something that has imperishable value. It will last forever. And so we should, with even more vigor, with even more gusto, we should discipline our bodies and bring them into subjection so that when we have preached to others about the hope that we have, we don't disqualify ourselves by the sin in our life. And so we must engage in the battle against temptation. This is a war that you must fight. I'm not going to say on your own because it's not on your own. God is there with you, but you must stand up and fight temptation. 1 Timothy 6, 6-12 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul is saying to Timothy that there are so many distractions in this world that can veer us off of the course of God's path for our life. Does God want us to provide for our family? Absolutely. Right? If you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Right? That's what the Bible says. So we must work hard to provide for our family. But is that the greatest goal that we have? No, that is just a means to an end. And the end is serving God with our life. Living for a greater purpose, living for something more than we could ever obtain on our own. And therefore, we must endure temptation. James 1, 12 through 15 said, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death." And so we as Christians must really focus in on our mind, our thoughts, our desires, and what we allow our mind to entertain. Because that is the road to destruction, is fought right up here. Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I want to read that again. "Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and its with its passions and desires." Notice that's past tense. Notice it's not "are crucifying the flesh." Notice it's not "will crucify the flesh." Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Paul said we should consider ourselves, our will, our lusts, all of those things as dead. And we should consider ourselves alive unto God. We must endure temptation. We must fight for holiness and purity in our life. And then we must fight for the faith. Jude 1, 3 and 4 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God, the grace of our God, into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We must contend for the faith. Contend, the idea is fighting, giving an effort, putting in all of you, all that you have. Even if you lose, you're going to go down swinging. You're going to give everything that you have, contending, fighting for the faith. And I don't mean just in a philosophical sense. I don't mean just as like going to some rally, right, and holding up a sign. That's really not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm talking about is in your family first. First in your own life. Fighting for purity in your own life. Defeating the strongholds in your own life first. Before you even judge your spouse, before you even judge your neighbor, first look in the mirror and say, "What do I need to work on? What do I need to purify in my life so that I can be a vessel worthy of honor and use for the master. And then you work on your family. You get your family straightened out. You get your family on track. Then you work in your church. Where does our church need to purify itself so that we can grow and be a vessel of honor for use for God? Then we look at our community. We look at our state. We look at our nation. We look at the world. But it starts right here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6, Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. What Paul is saying here is, I'm writing very vocally, very flagrantly, very openly, trying to show you something very loudly, so that when I get there, I might not have to have that same approach towards you. But I'm willing to, if I need to. Right? And have you ever heard your mother say, don't make me raise my voice at you. Don't make me, right? That's what Paul is saying here. Don't make me come over there. Actually, my mother never did that to me. But he says, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence of which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul says, this right here is our weapon. This right here is the foundation of everything for the Christian faith. The Word of God. And we need to contend for it. Not just in our culture, which we do desperately need to contend for in our culture, but in our own heart, in our own mind. We must bring every thought into obedience to Christ. And then as we go out into the world and we see others who are thinking things that are not according to God's word, we must stand up in love and say, you know, I got to tell you, that's really not the right answer. I got to tell you, because I care about you, if you go down that path, it will lead to misery and destruction. If you would like to know how to walk the path of peace, I have the directions right here. We must be ready to fight, not with our fists, but with our knees. We must be ready to fight, not with vulgarity, but with thoughtfulness, with encouragement, with holding up the hands that are hanging down, and lifting up the knees that are weak. We must come alongside people who are struggling and build them up into the people that God wants them to be. And the first person to start with is the one you look in the mirror. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, last week we recognized the truth of your word. that we are meant for more than what we see in this life. We are not meant for struggle and defeat. We are not meant for worry and pain. We are not meant for fear and the things that go along with that, or anger. But Lord, we are meant for victory. We are meant for overcoming, for victory, for winning, for success, for peace, for abundance. But Lord, we first must defeat our own will. We must first endure temptation and not give in to it. We must get rid of the sin in our life so that we can see clearly to know your will, to be approved by you, so that we can walk in your blessings. And Lord, then we must go out as Abraham went out when his cousin, or when his nephew was captured, and he went and he defeated many, many men with his men because he had faith that you would give him victory. And we must have that same faith as we walk in our life, that you are going to give us victory. And we might stumble, we might fall, but we will not be put to shame when we put our trust in you. So Lord, I pray that we would rise up, that we would take on the challenge, that we would recognize that we are meant for more, and that we would be willing to fight for that plan that you have for us. And sometimes our greatest enemy is ourselves. But because of who you are, you can even overcome us as you continue that great work which you started in us when we put our faith and trust in you. But Lord, I pray that we would actively pursue your peace, actively pursue your righteousness, so that we might be found in you when you return. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.